Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, Tony Martinetti. Welcome to the show today. A little shout to Larry Bloom, who just left the studio. If you have never listened to The Divorce Hour with Larry Bloom, you should. He precedes this show every week. And if you want to see pictures of Larry Bloom, you can go to the Facebook page for my show. Actually, Larry is too humble to have pictures of his own Facebook page, to have his own pictures up, but you could see pictures of Larry on this show's Facebook page, and we'll give the address for that later on. A little shout to Larry Bloom. Last week, it was the I'm Looking feature, Savvy Strategies for Your Search. We had our job seeker and resident recruiter, Paula Marks, helping the job seeker, Leonora, who's going to come back on the show, helping her make the move from for-profit to nonprofit career. And then after that, it was How to Cripple Your Career in 5 Easy Steps. You'll remember that was my pre-recorded interview with Robert Sharp from the National Conference on Philanthropic Planning. We were all about career last week. This week, Pass the Cup to Corporations, techniques to develop your corporate sponsorship strategy and build relationships so you can ask for corporate sponsorship support with credibility and confidence. My guest is going to be John Hicks. John is the president and CEO of J.C. Giever. And after John joins us, then we're going to talk about fund accounting software. Our tech expert, Scott Kegler, editor of Nonprofit Technology News, returns to the show, and he has product reviews for this back office necessity. Those of you who are in the know, recognize that proper accounting is critical to keeping your board, the IRS, and others who may be looking over your shoulder satisfied. And Scott will have reviews of several of the popular and recent fund accounting software packages. Between the guests at Tony's Take Two, I'll have news from your IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. They're nice people at IRS. That's not the news, but they are nice people, and I'll have some news from them, and also more about the Next Gen Charity Conference, which I'll be speaking at this month in New York City. That's on Tony's Take Two. All of that is on this show this week. I'm very glad you're joining us. We are live this week. Stay with me for this 90-second break.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Tony Martinetti, the host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. We're talking now about corporate sponsorships. Pass the cup to corporations. My guest is John Hicks. He's the president and CEO of J.C. Giever. You'll find J.C. Giever at jcgiever.com, and Giever is spelled G-E-E-V-E-R. V-E-R. The company was founded in 1975 and provides cost-effective and creative guidance and support designed to help nonprofit institutions assess and master fundraising challenges. The firm provides consulting, management, and training services, all in support of organizations of every size. Again, the web address is jcgiever.com. John Hicks is president and CEO of the firm, and I'm very glad that his work brings him back to the show. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you back. We're talking about corporate sponsorships, but before we get into the sponsorships, let's talk about corporation fundraising generally, sort of broad view. How does corporation fundraising break down?
Well, corporate philanthropy generally falls into two categories. There's the general corporate giving programs that you'll come across, and it's basically where a corporation sets aside money and a budget, and they give it away. And then you have corporate foundations, where a corporation may incorporate its own separate foundation, and they give money through that foundation. So there's usually a couple of channels of funding that you can access.
And we're talking about the former today, the more the sponsorship type.
Oh, absolutely. When we're talking about sponsorship, we're talking about corporate contributions budgets.
When a nonprofit is... you're right. First, let me remind people that we're live today. And let me give the number to call if you'd like to call in and talk to John, ask a question for him. Our number is 877-480-4120, 877-480-4120. Sorry about that interruption, John. A nonprofit looking to get some sponsorship dollars, what do they really offer the corporation? How do they figure that out?
Well, I think any nonprofit that's doing a good job of securing corporate sponsorships is first and foremost thinking about where the nonprofit has visibility, where it has reach, and what good it does in the community. These are all three aspects, if you will, of corporate sponsorship. You have to think like a corporate giving officer is thinking.
Okay.
If I'm a corporate giving officer, first of all, I have to justify our contributions to our shareholders. So one way I can do that pretty easily is to say that we're investing dollars with charities that have reach to constituencies where maybe we want to enhance or increase our visibility, enhance our brand.
And that could very well be local or as well as national.
It can be local. It can be national. So first of all, organizations need to think entrepreneurially about this. They also have to think about doing good. I mean, corporations, by and large, want to invest their dollars where the dollars are going to accomplish some good for end users. So you're thinking about who are the end users and how are they benefiting from our work, and therefore the corporation can have an association with our good results. And then I think the other thing that a charity needs to think about is what other kinds of opportunities they may have to involve the corporation in. Tony, if I had to pick one hot topic for everyone to think about is how can you involve corporate employees as volunteers? This is something you're seeing across the board in corporate philanthropy. Companies are looking for opportunities to get their employees involved with charities.
So the organization really needs to be thinking about how the employees can get involved in the event that they're asking for the sponsorship of somehow?
It can be an event. You can create something pretty simple where you could have employees come in and mentor kids, get involved with families. I mean, some charities like Habitat for Humanity, they have a great built-in mechanism because you can bring employees in and build houses or things like that. Some charities have to think a little more out of the box, if you will. You know, how might we bring employees in, for example, for a day and have them work with our constituents? It's given the employees a valuable experience, but it's also really great for your constituents, showing that there are people who really care.
And in just the minute we have left, you're seeing more companies focus on this as a sort of as a condition of sponsorship?
Well, it's increased over the years. I think it was a few years back, McKinsey & Company did a survey of the corporate sector in the U.S., and they found that companies that had employee volunteer programs had a higher ANS retention rate than companies that didn't. So it's certainly something that's really come into vogue in the last few years in corporate America.
We're going to take a break, and my guest is John Hicks, President and CEO of J.C. Giever. We're talking Pass the Cup to Corporations, all about sponsorships, corporate sponsorship. We're live today. The call-in number is 877-480-4120. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I'm with John Hicks, and we're talking about corporate sponsorships. And during that break, we got a call. So let's start with that call. We have Abigail. Are you there, Abigail?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining us. Where are you calling from, and what's your organization like?
I'm calling from Indiana, and I have a small nonprofit dance company, and I'm developing a program to try to bring workshops, dance workshops, into rural schools. And I want it to be free to the school. I want to fully fund it and offer it to the school systems as an after-school program. My question is, how do I research the appropriate corporations to target, both nationally and locally? I think both arts and education are a hot topic, and especially to bring it to rural areas, but I'm just not sure where to start in terms of finding the appropriate corporations.
Yeah, so John, how does Abigail find the right places to approach?
Well, I'm going to go with two resources. For starters, Abigail, you can simply use the Foundation Directory online, which you can probably go to a cooperating collection, which is a public library in your community that would have access to the Foundation Center's database. As part of that database, they have information, I believe it's on 5,500 corporate giving programs, and you can even research those corporate programs by types of products that they produce, where they have operations, so you can think about the communities where you want to take your program and find companies that have a geographic interest. So that's one area or then, one type of research.
And she'd also be able to search by arts and education, John?
You can search by arts and education. This is what we have to remember when it comes to research, is that a lot of companies have very diverse interests. So you might have a company that is really excited about partnering with a dance program that's going into rural Indiana. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And they may have an interest in getting their logo and their visibility out there. So, for example, it could be you could go to a major utilities company. I mean, for example, here in the metropolitan area in New York City, you'll see dance companies that have sponsorship for community programming from places like Con Edison and Verizon. They're not necessarily in the business of the arts, but they certainly reach a lot of consumers. So using the foundation directory online is a great place to start because the information's already there, it's segmented, and you'll have a librarian who's trained to help you. So go to the Foundation Center website, foundationcenter.org, and from there you can find a cooperating collection near you that has access to that database, and you can use it at that library free of charge.
And you said there was a second resource also, John.
There is a second resource, and you can find this in a lot of public libraries, not every one, so you'll have to look around for it. But there's a database that's called Corporate Affiliations, Who Owns Whom. And this is where you can literally put in zip codes where you're doing business, and it will show you companies and subsidiaries of companies that are located in those communities. One way I use this, for example, is if I'm, say, interested in going to a bank and I want to get a bank to do a sponsorship with a client organization, I go into that database and I simply want to find out where do they have branch offices. Mm-hmm. And you can put in zip codes and find out where they have the branch offices. So a couple of good database tools for you to use.
Okay. Abigail, does that help you out?
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And John, while we were answering Abigail's question, you alluded to something that I think is a distinction maybe that we want to make. I asked you, you know, can you specifically search for arts and education? But this is not like corporate foundation philanthropy where there's a specific, there can be more specific targeted purposes probably around the company's interests than there are around, than we're going to find around sponsorship activities. Is that right? The foundation is going to be more, the corporate foundation is going to be more focused than the corporate sponsorship philanthropy.
Typically, that right? That's the case, Tony. It's a safe assumption.
Okay. Thank you. What types of events, or they don't even have to be events, but what types of programs, things might nonprofits find that are viable for sponsorship opportunities?
Well, you mentioned the first one you mentioned, which is events, and you'll see that a number of nonprofits use special events as an opportunity for sponsorship, and it's a great gateway activity. Why? Because, first of all, you're guaranteed to bring people together where the company's going to have some visibility. It's a great social event. It's a great way to network and give corporate employees a hands-on flavor of the institution. So special events are always, you know, probably top of mind for most charities.
Okay.
But certainly volunteer activities, you know, if you can have get a company to sponsor a day at your charity where they bring in an employee team and maybe they're going to help you spruce up your space, or, you know, do some hands-on work with kids and families. That's a great way of introducing yourself to a corporation, and you're giving them some value as well.
And terrific visibility. And
terrific, absolutely.
The kind of value that they're looking for. How do you know how much to ask for?
And there's a bit of an art to that. Mm-hmm. With most corporations, if you think about the company as being, I think of companies, Tony, as being basically three layers. At the bottom layer, you have sales and service, and these are field representatives and employees who are going to have high touch in the community. And a lot of times, those employees are given an opportunity to make small contributions to a charity. It might be a few $100. It might be $1,000 or $2,000. Typically, this is where you're selling someone a table or tickets to an event. The next layer up would be the supervisors for sales and service. So it might be vice president level folks inside a company. And they may have sign off on contributions, maybe up to a level of 5 to 10,000. And then if you go one level above that, the office of the CEO, executive vice president plus, and then you could get into much larger contributions. It's a little bit like a board game. First of all, it depends where can you access the company. I mean,
where is your contact, right?
Exactly. If the CEO of the company is your next door neighbor, you can go borrow a cup of sugar and ask for $25,000, I suppose. But
that's for the people living in Scarsdale or Greenwich. I'm not familiar with other wealthy. Well, San Francisco, certain neighborhoods in San Francisco, and I'm sure there are lots of neighborhoods like that in the Midwest. I'm just not personally acquainted with them. But you have to be living in one of those places to have a neighbor like that.
Well, to have a neighbor, but you may have access to CEOs. We all come from somewhere, so
yes.
That's the way I look at it. But realistically, a lot of charities start with a small contribution. That's a gateway gift, as I call it, and that can then lead to larger opportunities down the road.
Because you mentioned earlier using the directory that you recommended for our caller, that you'll look maybe to see where the national bank has local offices. So the local branch office might be the person's only point of contact. By necessity, right, They're starting at that point.
Banks are pretty easy because you can go into a branch and you can talk to a branch manager, and that's a great place to start the contribution. You can also look at retailers. Take any of your major retailers, and if they have a presence in the local community, you can talk to a store manager. A lot of times, Tony, when we're using a directory like Directory of Corporate Affiliations, it's where you may have this mysterious widget factory on the outskirts of your town, and you're wondering, well, gee, what do they do? And they don't give very much money. But if you go to Directory of Corporate Affiliations and you look up that company, you might find out, hey, they're a subsidiary of DuPont. And all of a sudden, there's a big parent company there that can make a much larger contribution.
Even if you don't have an access, suppose you don't know anybody inside that widget company or inside the bank, even at the local branch level, I presume you still should give it a shot, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I think the question is, who do you contact? And most companies have someone who's in charge of community affairs or public relations. And those are good people to start with because they're thinking about visibility and they're thinking about touch with the community. And that's what they're there for. So think of it as you're bringing them an opportunity.
And when you're talking to them, you want your ask amount to be appropriate with what it is you can offer them in return. Right?
Typically, you want to have an ask amount that is appropriate given your relationship. This is why a good strategy is having several opportunities. Walking in and saying, we can do this for $1,000, but we could do this for $25,000.
Okay. Very similar to individual fundraising.
Right.
If you're you typically ask for at different levels for different opportunities that appeal to an individual donor. It's obviously it's parallel for this kind of sponsorship philanthropy.
Exactly. You're going to present them with a menu and maybe you help them select what would be the most appropriate place for them to start.
I'm with John Hicks. He's the president and CEO of J.C. Giever, which you'll find at jcgiever.com. And we're talking about corporate sponsorship on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. The number to call if you'd like to call into John is 877-480-4120. John, after this relationship has been has gotten far enough along and the company has said yes, what should the nonprofit be expecting from this relationship?
Well, there's going to be expectations in both directions. I mean, you certainly are within your right as a nonprofit to have expectations beyond a check in terms of the company is going to be supportive of your work and maybe they can help provide you with visibility. But of course, they're going to have expectations of you. And this is where, if I'm fond of saying with any kind of a contribution, before you cash the check, always read the letter. Make sure that you're going to be able to meet their conditions and meet their expectations when it comes to visibility.
What sort of things are typical that you see in these letters?
It's typically they want to have approval on press releases. They will want it specified or want to specify how their logo should be displayed. Things like that are pretty straightforward. Are there some things that you might have to think twice about? Sure, I've seen corporations come in and say, For example, they may want access to a mailing list, or they may, or exactly, or they, you know, they may want to have an opportunity to speak at an event, and you know, does, I mean, this is why, as in my experience, certain charities I've worked with, as they raise more and more money from corporations, begin to do things like develop gift acceptance policies. What kind of companies will we accept contributions from? What are the conditions of acceptance? So in the beginning, you're probably playing a little more by ear. But once you become a popular charity, you need to really think about, you know, number one, how do you want that corporate imprimatur placed on the work that you do? And also, you have to be mindful that you may be balancing a lot of different relationships, and you want to make sure that you're meeting the needs of all of your donors. If you promise something to one that you're not promising to someone else, can create problems.
Or there needs to be a very good reason why.
It was
sponsorship at a different level or something like that.
Right.
And you draw another very interesting parallel between this type of fundraising and individual fundraising, and that is the gift acceptance policy. I'm not familiar with it on the corporate sponsorship side, but it makes perfect sense if you're going to make this a routine activity. What other types of parameters, maybe even approval levels, should be in the acceptance policy?
Approval levels. I mean, some charities, you know, fundamentally have regulations where its own board of directors has to sign off on a corporate sponsorship at a certain level. I've seen that.
And after the fact, let's say it is an event, because that it sounds like that's the most common. The event has happened. Everyone seems very happy. How do you appropriately say thank you to the company?
Well, you know, beyond simply saying thank you, which you'd be surprised a lot of us kind of forget to do that in the heat of the battle. I think it's a question of ongoing communication. Yeah, treat the corporate sponsor as a stakeholder. You know, once they've put money on the table, and they're there to support the work that you do, so make them part of it. It means that you may want to visit with them a couple of times over the course of the year following, and just keep them in the loop as you would with any other donor.
As you would with an individual. And yeah, you don't want to treat the people as, I guess, sort of, you know, just cogs at the corporation. I mean, treat the people who were at your event and who approved your sponsorship like people as you would with individuals. What would
Absolutely.
You do? So you can invite them to events maybe that the company is not sponsoring. Your message is you want to keep them close.
Absolutely.
Let's turn a little bit to corporate foundation philanthropy. Last time you were on the show was July 30th, for anybody who wants to look back to that. And we talked a lot about private foundation giving. Aren't there sort of parallels, but also maybe some contrasts between corporate foundation philanthropy and private foundation philanthropy? In just the minute and a half we have left, just want to kind of close that loop a little bit.
Sure. Corporate foundations will operate very much the same way as a private foundation. You'll still have to send a proposal. The proposal will end up being voted on by a board. Where it's different is they'll... You know, it's not going to surprise you. A corporate foundation is usually interested or has a mission statement, work that's very aligned with the core mission of the creating corporation. So if you go to a pharmaceutical foundation, they're going to be supporting healthcare. So it's, first of all, making sure that, you know, you have the right kind of program that matches up with their interests. Sometimes a corporate foundation will want some visibility, even though it's a separate entity from a corporation.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. But by and large, it's going to work just about the same way as a private foundation.
Right. All right. Thank you, John. And again, John was on July 30th and talked a lot about private foundation philanthropy, and we have to leave it there. My guest has been John Hicks, President and CEO of J.C. Giever. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. After this break, I'll be joined by the show's tech expert, Scott Kegler, editor at Nonprofit Technology News, and we're going to be talking about fund accounting software. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, where we're always talking big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. In a moment, I'll be joined by our tech expert, Scott Kegler. Want to take a few moments for Tony's Take Two this week. News from your IRS. The people at Internal Revenue Service love you, and they host free one-day seminars throughout the country that are for small and mid-sized nonprofits to learn how to, and this is a quote, keep their tax-exempt status and comply with tax obligations, end quote. And the next one of these is coming up in Phoenix, Arizona on December 7th and also on December 8th, but it's a one-day forum. And as I said, they're free. And I have information about that on my blog at mpgadv.com. Also there, you can see a draft of the new Form 990. If you don't know what the Form 990 is, you need to do some education, and you can start at the blog, but you probably do. And if you want to see this year's new 990 in draft form, I have a link to that there. And also, you can sign up for what the IRS calls their exempt organization updates. I get them, and sometimes I pass that information on to you, but you can have those emailed directly to you. Cut out the middleman. Don't stop listening to the show, but just lower the volume when I talk about the next news from your IRS. You can get those emailed directly to you. And again, there's a link to that on my blog at mpgadv.com. Also want to share with you that I'm speaking at the Next Gen Charity Conference on November 18th. The conference is November 18th and 19th. I'm doing podcast interviews for this show on the 18th. And on the 19th, I'm hosting a workshop from 11 to 1, PG and SoMe, Planned Giving and Social Media. And I can get you 20% off the whole conference, both days, because you're a listener to the show. Again, go to my blog or go to the Facebook page for the show, and you can get information on that 20% discount. The Facebook page is at facebook.com/Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, November 5th. I'm joined now by our tech guru expert, Scott Kegler. Scott's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, which you'll find at nptechnews.com. There's also a link to that site on the show's Facebook page because Scott is a regular contributor. And I'm very welcome. I'm very glad to have him back. Scott, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Tony. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. And this week we're talking about fund accounting software. What is fund accounting, Scott?
Good question. Fund accounting is something that's very specific to nonprofits, mostly because nonprofits generally have to account for at least some of their money in terms of the funds or the designated accounting categories. So if a donor or a particular event is organized to put together a fund to handle a particular need, those go into little buckets, hopefully big buckets, I guess.
And all those individual buckets need to be accounted for in terms of income that's been earned and expenses, disbursements that have been made at that fund level.
Right. And, if those are designated funds that were given by a particular contributor, that contributor probably wants some kind of accounting to say, okay, I gave you this amount of money. What did you do with it? Where did it go?
Yes. Well, I gave you $100,000 or $50,000 in perpetuity or for a set number of years. And exactly as your point is, they want to see the management of that money and its benefit to the people that your organization supports.
Right.
So we need to be able to account for this, for all these different funds as donors designate them. And your review, is the review out now or it's coming out soon?
We are just posting it today. Our newsletter goes out on Tuesday, but the review is up online. So if folks want to look at it, that's nptechnews.com.
All right. And how timely we are. We're you're getting a quick little pre-announcement, but from the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, the information goes up full and live later today. And Scott, your review breaks down the different software packages, which we'll get to very shortly, by their appropriateness for small, medium, and larger organizations. How do you define those, or do you let people decide on their own which category they fit in?
It's a fluid categorization, if you will. Most of the way that we define them is by talking with the vendors of the software. So they know what their capabilities are, what the sizes of their databases can handle. And to some extent, it's the price also.
Okay. Let's jump in and talk about some of the features of these. Let's start with the ones for smaller organizations. What's the first one you'd like to talk about?
Well, the first one on our list is Fund Easy Accounting. And you may remember from our previous discussion that when we talked about donor management, Fund Easy was one of the companies that also provides fundraising software.
Oh, and so the two probably work well together, I presume.
Right. They kind of funnel all of the information into the similar accounting package.
Okay. That just for listeners, that show was on September 17th. Scott was on previously talking about fundraising management software. Go ahead, Scott. So tell us about the accounting function of FundEasy.
Right. This is general accounting as well as specific accounting for fund management. So, the write-up says that it has an intuitive interface. You would hope at this point that pretty much all of the applications that we use anymore have intuitive interfaces. The fact that our reviewer looked at this and said, yep, this is one of those, is probably significant. This is relatively low-priced. It starts for a single user at around $700.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the fund-specific functions, it also includes accounts payable, receivables, and general ledger.
Okay, so there's those general accounting functions.
Correct.
Is that typical? Do they all or most of them include the general accounting functions as well as the fund accounting?
Or not?
It's not so common.
Right. In general, to be redundant, they include general ledger.
They do. Yes. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was just for FundEasy or generally all of them. Okay.
Generally, they do, because the buckets that these funds are put into are general ledger accounting categories. So if our listeners are familiar with general ledger accounting, there's one thing, it's accounts payable, there's money received, and then there's money allocated for a particular fund in this case.
Okay.
So these are able to import and export information from and to other applications. One of the nice things about this, and I think this is fairly generic to most of these, again, the purpose is that your funders want to know what happened to the money.
Yes.
So it's one thing to look into the fund and say, okay, well, we have $100,000 in that fund. The next question is, well, what's it being used for? And this Fund Easy Accounting, as well as some of the others, have a function called drill down. And that's kind of a techie word for, I click on the number and it shows me more detail about it.
Okay. See, Scott is acquainted with the show. He worked very hard to avoid jargon jail at that moment because he defined this drill down function for us. So no need to invoke jargon jail. I know the listeners were thinking of it, but no need. The keys are still in my pocket.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're no need.
I want to be free for the weekend, Tony. Thanks.
Yes. Okay. Well, sentences are generally short. You'd have been out, okay. but you avoided it at all costs. Let's go to another one for small organizations. And I'm sure they share a lot of these functions, as you've mentioned. What's another one for small nonprofits?
Well, the next one that I have on my list here is CYMA, C-Y-M-A, not-for-profit accounting software.
C-Y-M-A.
Right.
CYMA. It sounds like C-Y-A, but it's not.
It does. It probably does some of that.
Cover your ASCII. So is this not cover your ASCII accounting?
You would hope so.
ASCII.
But it does handle fund accounting as well. CYMA is one of those companies that's been around for quite a number of years in the general accounting and also in vertical environments where they address, you know, specific kinds of companies.
Okay, and again, so I don't confuse the listeners, it's CYMA, C-Y-M-A. I was being a funny boy with C-Y-A. But ASCII, by the way, I don't know if people know that, but that's the American Standard Code for Information Interchange.
I didn't know that.
It's common knowledge, but I don't want to put myself in jargon jail. Okay, enough.
Okay.
Let's talk about CYMA, what not-for-profit accounting software, please.
It's specifically, it has some of the same functionality as do all of these in terms of fund accounting. What you'll find is the ability to designate a fund, add funds to it, allocate funds out to specific purposes, such as payroll, for instance. You may want to designate 10% of a fund to payroll, whereas, you know, it doesn't cover the entire payroll, but it helps. You may want to designate a portion of the fund for purchase of a new photocopier or to the phone bill or something like that. So pretty much all of these allow you to do that.
Yes, and that is important because when people are given gifts, and there's often an administrative cost, which is exactly what you're describing. There are administrative costs around administering that gift or that program, and they look, and nonprofits look for portions of donations to offset the cost of, or portions of a cost of the administrative overhead, and that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. CYMA, as again, do some of these others provide for a function called interfund transfers, and it is, you know, it does what it sounds like it does. It allows you to transfer funds from one fund to another. This one is a little bit more expensive, at $1,200 for the not-for-profit accounting software, and that's the general ledger side. And it also allows you to add additional modules for around $600 a piece, depending on the module. So those would be payroll, accounts payable. So we begin to see a difference here between FundEasy, for instance, and CYMA, in that FundEasy contains additional modules that are extra costs with CYMA.
Yes. Scott, one of the times you were on, I think it was two times ago, we talked about software as a service, is cloud computing. Are these that type of packages, or are these software that you install locally?
These are pretty much all locally installed applications.
Okay.
It's accounting software is one of those that most organizations feel proprietary about. They want to keep it within the four walls, if you will.
Okay, but we did talk about security safeguards that can be made around that cloud computing, but I guess this is just so sensitive that companies don't bother to make it that way?
You know, that's one of those things that every company evaluates for themselves. My personal opinion is that the security of cloud environments and SaaS environments is just fine. But my opinion is not always good enough for everybody. So the trend is that about 20% of corporations now use some form of cloud or SaaS services, but that's still 20%. That's pretty far from everybody.
And not in this accounting arena. I'm with Scott Kegler. He's the editor at Nonprofit Technology News. He's our regular tech contributor. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at some packages in this arena for mid-size organizations. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm with our tech contributor, expert, Scott Kegler, the editor at Nonprofit Technology News. Scott, why don't we talk some about some of the packages that are intended for slightly larger organizations, sort of mid-size. I know QuickBooks has an entry here.
Right. QuickBooks is obviously an accounting application, and they have one version that they've put out, which is called Intuit's QuickBooks Premier Nonprofit for 2011. It's obviously a couple months ahead of time. But it incorporates a lot of the features that probably many of our listeners are accustomed to in QuickBooks. Being the premier version, it's got a lot of data interchange. It has the advanced functionality. It can produce financial statements, sales, and sales tax reports. And all those are available on screen as well as to print, of course. It's inexpensive, frankly. It's $400, which is very low
wow.
price for QuickBooks Premier of any kind. And the QuickBooks Premier, I believe, for general purposes, is right around there, $400 to $500. But for people that are used to using QuickBooks, this is a natural migration for them to use it for their nonprofit.
Okay, the interface looks the same.
It is identical. It has just the additional fund accounting portions that give it its name, essentially.
Right. We haven't talked much about reporting. I mean, you alluded to it, that reports are important, especially for the donor, but also maybe for auditors come tax time. What's the robustness of the reporting with Intuit's QuickBooks Premier?
Well, Intuit's QuickBooks reporting is one of the most flexible that I've ever seen, and it's really accessible to people who are not accountants. That's been one of Intuit's strengths, is the ability to provide, I don't know exactly how many reports they have pre-built into the system, but I'm guessing that it's probably 100 or so. Every one of those can be modified and saved as a new report, so it's really easy to generate reports that are specific to your needs, specific to the requests of anybody on staff or board of directors or donors, whatever.
And how about support? Another area we haven't talked about yet. What typically is the level of support that a user gets? Is it just online, or is there a call center? How does this generally work?
Support, it varies from one provider to the next. It goes from anything to email support, to online support, to in-person. And one of the things you'll find that differentiates these applications from very small to very large, I'm just going to skip down to some of the larger ones just for reference here. Cougar Mountain, Open Systems, and Blackbaud are some of the better known applications in the nonprofit world. And those generally have either on-site training and support or telephone support. So, but you're paying for that. Their annual support can sometimes amount to nearly as much as the cost of the application. So if the application is $1,200, $1,200 per year is probably more than what it really would cost, but probably $500 to $600 a year for personal support.
Yeah, but in some cases you're getting on-site, you said.
Right. And those are generally more in terms of installation and training rather than day-to-day question and answer.
Ah, okay. All right, but certainly support is something listeners want to consider when they're deciding which package is right for them, because based on their expertise or lack of in accounting.
Absolutely. You definitely want to have something that's easy to use and familiar, and that's one of the things that the lower-priced applications do provide.
Okay. All right, so the QuickBooks sounds like something that could be very good for people who are familiar with QuickBooks. What's another one for small and mid-size organizations?
For mid-size, let's see, we've got the Open Systems, which this is the Open Systems Traverse NFP. I guess NFP is for not-for-profit.
I think you're right.
Yep. Now this one integrates with Microsoft Office, which makes it really nice. You can export into Excel directly.
Scott, have you got an office assistant who's a little hungry there, or needs to go out?
And I wish I could get rid of him for a moment, but I'm afraid I can't.
Well, we just have a minute and a half left, so he or she will be out very soon.
Okay.
Go ahead. Tell us about Open Systems.
Open Systems is a little bit more expensive. Goes at around $2,000, but it does include quite a few portions to it: general ledger, accounts payable, and payroll.
So payroll added. Okay.
Right. So an organization that has a good-sized staff, particularly that needs payroll, that works well for that kind of organization.
And what's the numbers on the Open Systems Traverse NFP? How much does that cost to get in?
That starts at $2,000, and that's for a single-user license.
Okay, a little pricier.
And you can go into a multi-user, which, again, for a larger organization, you definitely want to be able to add additional seats.
Yeah, and it sounds like all or most of these are scalable. You've said a few times.
Right. Generally, the initial price is for a single user, and additional users are additional cost.
Okay. All right, Scott, we have to leave it there in this fund accounting software roundup. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll have you back, of course.
Thanks a lot, Tony. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Thank you. That's Scott Kegler, our nonprofit. Our software and technology contributor and expert, and he's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, which is at nptechnews.com. I want to thank Scott, of course, and also want to thank John Hicks, president and CEO at J.C. Giever, for joining me today. Next week, we're going to talk about board fundraising. Fire up your board fundraising. We will be joined by author and authority Gail Perry, and Gail is going to reveal proven techniques to motivate your board to step up to a very critical responsibility of theirs, fundraising. Gail is the author of Fired Up Fundraising, and you're crazy if you missed that, frankly. But you're crazy if you missed today's show, too. You wouldn't know it because you wouldn't be listening, so you wouldn't have me telling you. Unless you'd know from an outside source, aside from me. But you're crazy if you missed that show, I think, or any of these. You can get insider alerts about the show and see where my live appearances are going to be at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. And also my blog has information about the show, mpgadv.com. The creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff, line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting, Sam Leibowitz, and our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. If you like our fan page, please click the like button so that Regina will know that she's doing a good job on the Facebook page, but she manages our social media generally. This is Tony Martinetti, the host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, always big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Join me next Friday. My guest will be Gail Perry. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern here on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes and join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.